Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gems of Wisdom, a soul sanctuary and community to inspire hearts, minds, and lives through art, charity, and conversations that deepen our connection. Our show features the stories of women in the arts who nurture creative and abundant living for all religions, communities, and forms of spirituality. Welcome to our show.
Hi there, and welcome to the Women's Wisdom Circle today. Our theme is letting go, and we're going to have a great time. I'm your host, Teresa Marone, and I wanted to let you know that the Women's Wisdom Circle is a soul sanctuary that invites women to be who they are without needing to change or fix themselves or even fix anyone else in the circle. We gather to listen and to communicate, we reflect creatively, and we are authentically sharing our soul from a very deep level for the education of ourselves and others. We begin our wisdom circle with a wisdom quote, and then we just kind of go where the spirit leads. The circle is a place to honor what we cherish and love about ourselves, along with what we feel might be our brokenness or our desire for deep, long, sustaining change. And our gathering each time feels very new and also very ancient. I think you might kind of get what I'm talking about when I introduced my guest today. But my first guest, the Reverend Bridget Wozniak, she likes to say that the wisdom of the circle is in the circle itself, because in the circle we are all equal. So let me introduce right now our facilitator today, Reverend Bridget Wozniak. How are you today, honey?
I am well, and I guess it's not too late in the month to say Happy New Year.
No, I don't think it's too late. In fact, I think that all the way up to the spring equinox coming up the week of the 23rd of March, we might just celebrate this new year. You and I have spent the last 6 months going through lots of transitions, and we have some more to come. You had a birth, having, you know, maybe the opposite of that going on. So,
and
that's what the circle of life is all about, isn't it? It's celebrating where you're at on the wheel.
It is. It's about your journey and the wisdom that you gather into yourself as you are on that journey. And sometimes we don't even know how wise we are until we get with others and begin to talk, and something wonderful comes out of our mouths and someone else says, oh, that was so wise.
Well, we kind of have a dichotomy going on our theme today. It's letting go, but it's also setting boundaries. And
yes.
I know that we talked a little bit about this during the holiday season, that there's a time of darkness, and running away from that darkness, it does not really serve the purpose of what the darkness is. And the darkness I'm speaking about is that deep introspection of what you really, really want to process and move away from, but you can't run from it. You have to move away from it with intelligence and with completion. Is that what I remember us talking about?
Yes, and I think that that's part of the letting go, is because there are things that we need to let go of. Most often we think of things, letting go of things, and perhaps letting go of events, recurring events that come up for us on our calendar. And lastly, people. And that's generally where we find the negativity, and we look at it as a negative thing, letting go of people, but it's actually not. It frees us up in a way that helps us to set a boundary about the people who will be in our lives and how their presence will influence our lives.
Well, we're going to start our wisdom circle off in about 5 minutes with that theme in mind. But before we do that, let me introduce my second guest today, Karen Ludes is someone that's been my friend for about 6 or 7 years, and she and I have done a couple of artistic projects together. I have to say to the listeners that Karen is a master at organizing an artistic event. She is like my top. I can't say enough good things about her, but she's also a nurse, a wife, a mom, a grandmom, and a very wise woman. Help me in welcoming today Karen Ludes.
Thank you, Teresa.
It's
a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, you and I have the kind of relationship that we can not talk for 2 years and then we just pick it right back up. And
that's it. That's the way it is.
That's the way it just has to be. And if I needed, you know, an antique crystal chandelier trinket, or if I needed a punch bowl that was created in 1862, not 1863, you would be the one that I would call. You'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll get back to you, and 5 minutes later I could have it.
I'd try and track it down.
You would, like, track that thing down. But the reason I call you a wise woman, you know, I really love that term. I don't think that it's weird or odd. I think that it's I think it's an honor. And the reason that I call you a wise woman, and the reason I wanted you on the show today, is because you go through so many, you have been through so many stages of life that many, many people would call a very difficult time of life, or even a difficult relationship, or you know, highly stressful would be what people say today. And you make it look easy. So I want you to be thinking about how you can share some of your, you know, your go-to wisdom for when times look kind of tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And, you know, it's you just have to meet each challenge and try and do it in a positive way, because I think a positive outlook will help you succeed more than feeling down and depressed about everything. So.
Oh. That's hard to do, Karen.
It is, but you know, we've been through a situation with my husband with leukemia, and both of us just had the feeling that as long as we stayed positive with it and tried to look for the things that would work and not start looking at all the bad that could happen, that we'd probably come out okay. And we did.
Well, you just said a mouthful right there. Because that, you know, I mean, what could be more difficult than that? And you're right. You know, I put a picture up. I don't know if you noticed on the Blog Talk site. I put the picture up of you and Bill when you were doing the video. You know, Karen was a star on one of my videos.
She
and her husband. You were amazing. And it was a nationally released. It sold, I think it sold like 50,000 titles. It might have sold more. You know, I tend to downplay it, but it was released nationally 2 years ago. And the picture there is of, the reason I love that picture is when you see Karen's face looking at her husband, Bill, and you see Bill's face looking at his wife, Karen, you see complete joy, love, respect, and humor all in one meeting of the eyes. You know, it's like, I know what you were thinking. You're like, I cannot believe she's filming him asking me to dance.
I cannot believe
that we are, like, letting her film us. And he's got his hand out saying, may I have this dance? And Karen's like, okay, yes, you may. But it is adorable. So, okay, I'm having so much fun. Bridget, am I off track?
A little. But you know what? We can get right back on, because part of what Karen shared, I think, is about letting go. She talked about not to remaining positive and not letting those negative emotions crowd in. And so that's letting go of negativity, letting go of negative emotions, which is really very important for growth and for moving on. And I think that she was able to do that. She and her husband were able to do that because they let go of what wasn't working, what would not have worked in their situation. And I think sometimes that's one of the hardest things for us to do.
I do too. I mean, Karen, did you want to follow up on anything that Bridget had said before we introduced you as far as just the whole theme of embracing things before you release them because then, you know, it's not complete?
Well, we hadn't gotten to visit too much with our telephone incident, so.
Yes, I know what you mean. But, you know, the whole idea of embracing not negativity per se, but the darker parts of our lives and kind of not being too quick to go into denial or to shut it down as being, you know, that's the boundary. That's how much time do you want to spend on, okay, we're really going to embrace this before we move away from it, or we're going to surround this whole thing with a positive attitude, feel real. You know, those are the places that I think we all struggle with.
I think, too, that we have to know what it is we're going to turn away from in order to turn away from it. So we have to really look at it. And as we turn away from it and release it, we bless it and say, go on your way, you know, and go where you need to go. Dissipate into the ether. Your place is no longer here with me, but it might be someplace out in the ether. So we release slowly. We reduce the time that we think negatively. We reduce time with people who bring us down and bring their drama and their negativity into our lives, and we bless it as we let it go.
Well, I like that.
I agree in that term, in that I've had people that have been in my life that at first I thought everything was, you know, really well and things were working out, and then slowly I realized that it just wasn't the type of relationship that you wanted to have. And it's a hard decision to make to let it go. But once you do and you let it go and you free yourself of that, you feel better, and I know they feel better too.
Agree.
Oh, that's important to think in terms of that you're freeing them as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it sometimes takes a while. If you're the one who's choosing to limit the relationship, to discontinue the relationship with someone, you know, initially you can expect some anger on their part, some disappointment and criticism, and sometimes, depending on the person, even some threats. But I really think Karen is right, that eventually they understand that it was for the best, that the two of you probably weren't going to be able to be mutually beneficial, which is what we want in our relationships and friendships, is that they're mutually beneficial for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes people, you know, I know that I've had a lot of trouble with this personally, but sometimes people are striving to do something that's really not right for them in order to meet you halfway in the relationship as well. So there's always clarity on both sides. So,
you know, I think sometimes when we're involved in any relationship, friendship, whatever it is, there's a part of us that wants the other person to like us. And so sometimes we do things that are uncharacteristic of us in order to impress them or get them to like us. And then if we really look at ourselves, we say, why did I do that? Why am I being this way? Why am I behaving in a way that isn't truly me? And I think that's that feeling, that sensation, wherever it rests on our body and we know it, that's the time when we start questioning, wait a second, is this really a relationship I need to cultivate?
You know, that is so perfect because you've led us right into our first quote. And for our listeners, what we're going to do now is I'm going to read the quote that was provided to me by lovely Bridget. She always sends me several quotes and lets me choose, and I think that's so generous of her. But we're going to segue right into our quote, and then we'll take turns speaking. Bridget will start, and then Karen will pick up the thread, and then I will. And we'll go around two or three times just to kind of follow this thread. So our quote for the day is by Deepak Chopra, and the quote is, in the process of letting go, you will lose many things from the past, but you will find yourself. So what do you think, Bridget?
I really like this quote because you could say letting go, you will lose many people from the past as well as things. And that's the honest truth, is that there will be some loss, but the loss opens up space for newness. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can look at our lives and say that, as you spoke about in the beginning with Karen, she and you have been through many transitions, and those transitions cause a change in our lifestyle. And so if we don't continually re-examine and look at the space around us, the relationships around us, how we're engaging with the world, we can be living a former lifestyle. We can be living the things that fit in then, but they don't actually fit in now, but we've been a little lazy and allowed them to stay and linger. And we have to let those go. We have to re-examine and look at things. This is letting go is my theme for the year, my title for the year. And one of the things I decided to do was to start with things around me in my office because it's where I spend a great deal of time. And I began to look at the overcrowded bookshelves and realized that I had whole groups of books that helped me in my ministry as a deacon to elder care, to other kinds of ministries. And when I looked at them, I said, are you ever going to do this again? Are you involved in it now? And will you be picking it up again? And the answer was no. And so the question was then, why are you keeping these books? Someone else could use them. So I went through, I must have given away, I know people are going to be astonished, but it's true, 300 books.
Wow.
Amazon loves me. Amazon loves me. But I gave away things that I used when my lifestyle was different, when my intentions and the way I lived out my days were different. And I looked at what I'm doing now and where I want to go and what I want to embrace. And I kept those things. I kept what is going to feed me now, not what I used to do that actually was holding me back, because every time I looked at them, I felt a little guilty for not using them or guilty for having given up that ministry and moving on, which is not really appropriate. I have a ministry to do, and God calls us all to different things at different times in our lives, and I realized that and said, oh, I'm done with that now. I can let it go.
Uh-huh. Well, Karen, what would you like to pick up on that thread?
Well, you know, when I first got married and started it, life and everything, I was a nurse, and I worked for 5 years. I loved it. I loved being a nurse. I loved taking care of people. And then I had my son, my oldest son, And it was time for me to step away from that part of my life, the nursing part, and be the mommy, because that was more fulfilling to me than the nursing. And now I'm the grandmother, and I'm getting a whole lot more fulfillment from that, because I can love, and then I can give them back to mommy and daddy. but I enjoy that part of it. When I am in a situation where there's somebody that's sick and I'm back at the hospital, I miss the nursing. But I don't miss it so much that I would want to go back to that. And I've let that part of my life go by, and I'm not upset by that. I miss it when I'm in the situation. There's a lot of stuff I still remember and still use. But I've moved on now to the life that where I have my kids, I have my grandkids, and I'm doing the things there that I really enjoy. On the collecting part where I keep things, yes, I still have all my kids' toys, a lot of them. But now I'm bringing them out, and my grandkids think they're wonderful. It's like finding all these old-fashioned stuff they can use and play with, and you use your imagination. You don't have to use the electronics to play. So that part I still have, and some point in time I guess I'll have to get rid of it, but right now we're still using it.
Well, I think that's a really wonderful way of remembering some of the times of your life, being a new bride, being a new mother, and now being a grandmother. I mean, that's what we're all doing, is all on that wheel of life. But what I wanted to speak about, Bridget and I are doing this kind of thing with the Women's Wisdom Circle, where everybody chooses a title, like your personal movie or your personal story for the year of 2016. And as she said, her title is Letting Go. And I'm still working on my title, but it's going to be about nurturing, and it's going to be about nurturing yourself so that you can be fully present in nurturing others. And I've had two or three amazingly strong changes, things that normally you work into over several years, and it's just like, you know, one day it's black and the next day it's white, of 2016. So remembering to self-care and not get into shock or fear or guilt, you know, these emotions that just kind of grip you. And I'm thinking that might be a habit. You know, I'm playing around a little bit with that, with going directly into a harsh emotion as opposed to kind of taking a step back, really feeling it through, and wondering if, like as Karen was saying earlier, there's a better way, there's a more positive way to handle bad news. And also, there's a better way and a more nurturing way for you to steer yourself through these murky waters. And on the quote, letting go of the habit, going directly into, you know, like in a 30-minute television show, you would go to the harsh emotion and then it would all be okay in the next 15 minutes. You know, that's not real life. So finding yourself, I think, as Deepak Chopra so aptly puts in this quote, you let go of things from the past, like habits of reacting too strongly to news that's, you know, not optimum. But you find a strength in yourself that is very rewarding when you're able to get through some of these life changes and inevitables that we all know about. We all wonder how we'll handle it if it happens to you. You find a strength, and that strength is, it's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the only way to find out who we are or who we're meant to be or how we're meant to live is to do what you're saying. and to let go of our reflexive response, those immediate responses that we have, behaviors and attitudes and judgments and all of those things that we have, and rather than act reflexively, act in a way that we reflect before we act. We think about it. And then we find, as you say, courage in the moment, strength in the moment. And sometimes I don't think we know we have it until day turns from black to white, white to black.
I know.
It's just there, and suddenly, and I think that's the wisdom that arises from inside us, arises from our heart and soul, that wisdom comes to the fore when we need it.
Yes, we hope that that fountain is never going to run dry. But I would like to kind of shift gears here for a second and go into the second quote that we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies, we'll take about a minute or a minute and a half to discuss this before we do our close of our show today. But the quote is no. And Anne Lamott, who is a visionary, says no is a complete sentence. It's not no but or no and or I really am feeling like I should say no, but no is good. It's good. So how do you feel about that, Karen? The word no.
You know, I understand that no is a complete sentence. I have difficulty with that. And I usually have a no, but, well, you know. And I have been working on that for several years now to be able to say no and stick by that rather than to say no and then give in. I was a volunteer at my kids' schools for years, and there was a lot of things that I did that I really wasn't into, but I did it because I couldn't say no. And I thought,
no,
well, you know, I'll get through this, and next time I'll say no. But I'm getting better at using the word no, and I guess after so many years, I'm finally beginning to realize that I don't have to do everything if I don't want to do everything. So. I love the quote, and I'm going to use that.
I think that might help us for those perpetual and no, unless, no, but, no, until. You know, there's always an end to that sentence, but I think now we can just say no is a complete sentence. And, you know, we might get some strange looks from people, but as it might become a movement, you know, I mean, as you look at someone and say, no is a complete sentence, they might respond with, you know what, it is. And
that's right.
And I think it's good. And, you know, there's a couple of people in my life, I'll just say this very quickly before I turn it over to Bridget here, that have been so pivotal in teaching me the value of the word no. They are challenges in my life. They are not the most pleasant part of my life. All right? They're not. But if I had to celebrate the reason that these people are in my life with one thing that I've really gained from it, is the ability to really see that no has to be a complete sentence. So, Bridget, what did you want to say about the word no?
Well, I kind of want to tie them together because when we say no, we need to let go of the need to explain. We need to say no because. Because if you say anything beyond no, then it's an invitation to the person you're saying no to try to persuade you or debate with you or even dismiss and deny the reasons you're giving for saying no. And so we just need to let go of anything beyond the word no. The answer was no, and the person to whom you said no has absolutely no right to hear why you arrived at that. That's your answer. And I think we can just let go of our need to always explain. I mean, we're forever explaining ourselves, and we don't need to. I think we need to let that part of life go, and the answer is no, sorry.
Well, with our book or our movie, they can just wait and see the credits, and then they'll figure out why, right? They can look it up in the bibliography.
The answer's in the end notes.
Yeah, that would be a footnote. So I want to thank both of you for being on our Wisdom Circle today. This is so fun. I absolutely love it. Karen, did you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners today?
No, I have enjoyed it all, and I certainly am going to take that last little part that we don't need any explanation when we say no and use it a lot. But thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on today. It's great to connect, and we need to make sure we stay in touch. Karen, thanks for being a guest on Women's Wisdom Circle today. And Bridget, we have managed to get started with 2016 with a wonderful Women's Wisdom Circle. And do you want to share a little bit about what we're going to be doing in February with our circle?
Well, yeah, we are going to come back in February. And we are talking about relationships, and specifically about the not-so-great relationships in our lives.
And the cause, yeah.
Yes, and that we may have experienced in our younger days as children or young adults, when others had more control of our lives than we did and crossed our boundaries.
Yes.
So February is bound to be a deep wisdom circle, and a wisdom circle that will help us work through maybe the feelings that we have about not having had control and having had people cross our boundaries.
Yes, and what we can do positively about it. Our special guest is Elizabeth Gibbons. She's an artist from California. She has a workshop that she does on healing early childhood trauma for many different reasons. But, you know, I was saying to Bridget privately before we were on the show today that the two of us really want to approach this topic with light and love and humor and healing, not, you know, really, you know, too much death, because all of us, you know, even the happiest of childhoods have had some challenges, and all of us are affected every day in our adult relationships and our adult choices by some of the things that happen. So that's what we're going to be discussing, February Women's Wisdom Circle. So, Bridget, thank you so much for joining us today and facilitating the circle.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for inviting Karen. It's always a delight to be with you. And I hope that our listeners enjoyed our laughter as well as the comments.
Yes. Thank you so much, and see you next month.
Join us next week for Gems of Wisdom with me, Teresa Marone, and my expert guest teaching spirituality and the arts. We bring together change makers, innovators, and creators, all heart-centered in service and committed to your personal growth. We're helping you so you can help others.